All right, this is an experiment that we're going to try. You know, I think the sermon develops a lot of conversation, generates a lot of discussion, but I think one thing we wanted to do is to talk a little deeper. So I'm here with the illustrious Russell France.
Yeah.
And we are going to have about probably 4 or 5 minutes of conversation, a little bit more. So we were thinking about a title. You know, maybe, you know, VH1's Behind the Music was really popular.
We're polishing the pulpit, you know.
We cannot polish our pulpit.
No.
I mean, I guess we could. And so it's pretty, it's wooden. I guess it could maybe pledge.
Yes.
But, so anyways, we'll figure out a name. Hey, if you have a name that you'd like to call this, please send your emails to Russell@grapevinechurch.com
or Angela@grapevinechurch.com.
In fact, any information you want to send to this church, do it by sending it to Angela@grapevinechurch.com.
She'll be appreciative of
it. She loves email more than you know, more than she'll say. So let's talk a little bit more about the sermon yesterday. Russell and I have already had a lot of conversation, and so really what I wanted to talk about specifically in the next couple minutes is really unpack this idea of what it means to be, really what it means to be a community. So we talked yesterday about the idea of being people who are witnesses. So Russell, talk a little bit more about your idea of what it means to really live out the mission.
You know, when we think about living out the mission, and we talk about how you've talked about it in Acts 1, Jesus, I've noticed this, Jesus tends to, constantly widening the circle. So from your home base, your home, to probably community, to neighborhood, and then to
Jerusalem,
the world.
Judea,
right.
Samaria.
And you mentioned it, if we're not good at doing it at home, in our place, then it's going to be really hard to do it everywhere else. And so what does that look like for Grapevine? I think that looks like people who can sacrifice themselves to another person, can give their life to another person, not based on them being like them. And that's a really hard thing for us to understand, especially here at church, because a lot of our mindset at church is we all have the same ideas and beliefs. And in all honesty, we don't.
So what you're saying is I'm supposed to like someone who is not like me? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we hope for, and I think that's what Jesus was hoping for.
What is it you said? If God...
Oh, yeah, I mean, if God likes all the same people you like, it's probably not the God you're supposed to be following, because
so
you're following yourself. I mean, he's really called us to... yes, like love all people. Let's not even say like. Let's say love, because that's the word that's being used. And the church is kind of the experiment or the laboratory for that to be lived out, so that we can then live it out in our neighborhoods. And that's where I think we really struggle.
It is. You know, it's funny because if you really look at all this, all the areas in our life that we have, that we routinely find ourselves, God has given us a lot of opportunities to practice this way.
Oh yeah.
In our families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew preachers and preachers' kids growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Who there was not a lot of mutual love and affection and kinship in their own family.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And
I think that's what we worry about. With our kids.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a stigma with preachers' kids.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we worry about with ours. But yeah, you're right.
But we have our homes to practice, you know, we have our workplaces. And it's funny because I really do think that our church has the potential to really do some amazing things in this community if we all get on the same page.
Absolutely.
But and it's not really about so much about doing things out there all the time, as much as it is about really practicing what it means to be a follower, to be saved right here with each other. If we can get that down,
yeah,
then maybe that'll start seeping out.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. I think that's what we're hoping for, is that it what we do, how we practice church, I don't even know how to say that, how we practice church, is not something we just do on a Sunday or Wednesday when we're with everybody, but it kind of works itself into every place else. But that's still where we really struggle, is so, what does it look like to practice church?
So that's something you said the other day, and it struck me really interesting. It struck me interesting.
There you go.
It struck me that you said people don't really repent anymore to each other.
No, we don't. I mean, you know, we talk about different markers of a church and stuff, and I think one of the things we really struggle with is how we handle faults in people and when people admit faults. I mean, we talk about repentance, and it can be a very private thing between you and God, but I think that's really sad. Because I think church is supposed to be a place in which people can openly say, this is what I've done, and not worry about it being held over them for a long time.
Yeah, people don't walk forward at the end of services
anymore. No, I mean, no, I don't understand. It's not an invitation. I mean, we call it an invitation, but we're not... What are we inviting people to do? I mean, we're inviting some people, if people want to be baptized, yes, but more importantly, it's like, are we really inviting people to come down and admit their faults? Because
the moment somebody does, everyone's going to be looking at them thinking, oh no, what happened to them?
Absolutely.
What did they do?
And that's one of our big, you know, if we can't love one another through that, I think that is a massive marker on if we're being this experiment of church that in community that God has called us to be. Because if we're supposed to be an announcement of something new would be being able to handle this.
Okay, so here's a scenario. Someone comes forward and says, I have a problem. I am an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And I've really struggled. I've had two DWIs, and I just want this congregation to know that I am fully repenting of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready to move forward. How do you think people generally would respond to that? Mm. Probably positively at first.
Well, yeah, because that's how we're supposed to.
But what happens whenever we walk out of the doors or go home? Or does that person now, talk about vulnerable,
right.
Does this person now have a stigma on them? Do people see him now as an alcoholic DWI offender? Or do they see him as someone who has been courageous enough to fully repent and try to be restored into the family?
Oh, absolutely.
How do you think they see him? How would you see him, Russell France?
How would I see him? I mean, I wouldn't see him any differently than I saw him the day before.
Yeah.
Knowing everything. And I think that's where it is. I think that's what has to happen. Because it's not for us. It's not our job to decide to restore somebody. It really isn't. It's not our job to say, oh, now you're restored. That, like, where we ever got in our mind that we hold that power is hilarious, considering it was done on the cross through Jesus. He takes care of that. And so for that man or that person to have that kind of courage to say that in front of people, he's good. It's now up to us to realize that and then move on and be able to love him. And that's, again, the big word, love him through it.
So it's almost like in that moment, really the responsibility is now on the congregation.
Absolutely.
To live the way of Jesus. We have no right to look at him and say, well, okay, you better live the way of Jesus, because right when he does that, now it's on us, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So really that's the idea of this mutuality, mutual submission, mutual love, mutual, just the idea of mutuality.
We need each other.
We need each other.
Yeah. It's the old Lumineer song. I belong to you and you belong to me. I mean, you know, if you listen to the Lumineers.
I don't listen to any non-Christian
right.
music.
Especially
Russell.
Those instruments, yeah. but no, I mean, that's, and you talked about it, that's the idea, to get to a point in which we realize that we aren't trying to fix somebody or make somebody like us or even make somebody have the same beliefs as us.
Yeah.
But that there are going to be times when the person sitting across from you is going to need you. And there are going to be times when you're going to need that person. And so no one holds the power over. The beauty of this community is no one holds the power over anybody.
Right.
We just are there for one another. And
so we really do belong to each other.
I don't see how we can't get away from it. I think that's what Paul says in Galatians 3:28.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what he breaks through and says there's no longer rich, poor, male, female, all those things. Because when it really, at the bottom part of it, we're all created beings of God.
Yeah.
And if we can get that, then I think we can begin to have the whisperings of a community that is trying to announce something different to the world.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting because next week we're going to be talking about what it means to be a witness in Samaria. And that is in the midst of people you don't really know, you don't really like, and you honestly people that offend you. What does that look like? So
absolutely,
it's going to be an interesting conversation. Maybe we'll talk more.
That'll be a fun one.
Well, that's it. This is our first one, so we'll see how it goes. God be with you. Thanks, Russell, for the conversation, and keep those names coming. Send them to Angela@grapevine.com. The name of this podcast, right?
Right.
Do you have any suggestions?
No.
Nothing snapped out?
I just had Paul's in the pulpit.
How about Coffee Talk?
Coffee Talk.
With Russell and Scott.
Right.
Maybe. Okay. All right. God be with you.
Peace.